Imagine discovering that an advanced alien civilization is headed toward Earth, and they'll arrive in 400 years. Now imagine something worse. They've already deployed subatomic particles called SOFONs that can monitor every human conversation and sabotage scientific progress. How do you plan a defense when your enemy can hear every word and see every plan? This is humanity's predicament in the cosmic chess game that unfolds across centuries. The Trisolaran invasion fleet is coming, but the more immediate threat is the technological stagnation and psychological warfare waged by an enemy who watches our every move. In response, Earth creates the Wall Facer Project, granting four individuals extraordinary powers to develop strategies they must conceal even from themselves. It's a game of cosmic poker where the stakes couldn't be higher. The survival of human civilization itself. Have you ever wondered why we haven't detected other civilizations? The novel explains this through a chilling metaphor. The universe as a dark forest where armed hunters move silently. Each civilization knows others exist, but can't trust them. When one spots another, shooting first is always safest. This stems from two axioms. Survival is every civilization's primary need, and resources remain finite while civilizations grow. These create chains of suspicion. Even if another civilization seems friendly now, they might not stay so. Given vast cosmic distances, by the time you detect a potential threat, they could have undergone a technological explosion, making them vastly more powerful. In this universe, civilizations announcing their presence are quickly eliminated by others practicing cosmic stealth. The silence from the stars isn't absence of life, but evidence of a brutal cosmic reality where visibility means death. How do you develop strategies against an enemy who can read your mind? The Wall Facer Project grants four individuals extraordinary resources to create plans they must hide even from themselves, using intuition and misdirection to develop strategies the SOFONs cannot decode. Frederick Tyler develops mental seal technology, implanting unwavering faith in victory. Manuel Ray Diaz secretly plans a solar chain reaction to destroy both civilizations. Bill Hines explores enhancing human thinking beyond SOFON monitoring. Each approach reflects a different survival philosophy, psychological manipulation, mutually assured destruction, or transcending cognitive limitations. Lu Ji, the reluctant fourth wall facer, initially uses his position for personal pleasure before grasping cosmic sociology's significance. His spell, targeting a distant star, implements the dark forest theory, broadcasting coordinates to attract cosmic predators. When that system is destroyed by a photoid, humanity realizes Lu's understanding might be their only hope. Zhongbei Hai, recognizing humanity's vulnerability to defeatism, creates a century-spanning strategy culminating in hijacking the starship Natural Selection, an insurance policy should Earth fall. What happens when society faces a threat centuries away? The novel explores this through the Great Ravine, a civilization collapse triggered by humanity's despair. With eventual conquest looming, society fractures along existing fault lines. Nations hoard resources, global cooperation falters, and environmental protections are abandoned. The period brings economic collapse, infrastructure failure, and social breakdown. Cities empty as systems fail, creating climate refugees. Knowledge vanishes as education deteriorates. Basic services become luxuries in many regions. This mirrors our struggles with slow-moving crises like climate change. The Great Ravine suggests our greatest vulnerability might be psychological, our inability to sustain effort against distant threats. Can democracies effectively respond when problems unfold over generations rather than days? 2 centuries into the crisis era, humanity encounters its first trisolar in technology. a small droplet probe with perfect atomic-level smoothness and otherworldly light reflection. When Earth's fleet attacks, it effortlessly cuts through ships by manipulating the strong nuclear force, reducing hundreds of vessels to debris in minutes without violating physics, simply operating at a level humans haven't reached. Is Zhang Beihai a visionary ensuring humanity's survival or a dangerous extremist? The novel presents evidence for both views. Zhang embodies the central question about what measures are justified for species survival. His willingness to sacrifice his reputation and potentially his soul represents an extreme utilitarian calculation. The needs of the species outweigh conventional morality. This moral complexity extends to all central figures. Ray Diaz's planet-destroying plan, Tyler's mental manipulation, and Lo Ji's cosmic blackmail all operate in ethical gray areas. The novel suggests conventional morality might be a luxury that existential threats render unaffordable, and that true loyalty to humanity's survival might require actions that appear as betrayal. From the despair after the droplet's demonstration comes the novel's brilliant twist. Lo Ji threatens to broadcast Trisolaris' coordinates to the cosmos, implementing a cosmic dead man switch that would expose both civilizations to the dark forest. Faced with mutual assured destruction, the Trisolarans agree not to cross the Oort cloud, sparing Earth. Understanding cosmic rules provides leverage even against superior technological powers. The novel concludes with humanity entering the deterrence era, an uneasy peace maintained by Luo Ji's cosmic dead man switch. The Trisovaran fleet positions beyond the Oort cloud, creating an astronomical demilitarized zone. This arrangement prevents direct conflict while creating constant tension, with both civilizations aware that mutual destruction awaits any miscalculation. This mirrors the Cold War's mutual assured destruction doctrine, where peace paradoxically depends on the threat of absolute annihilation. The novel explores how this standoff shapes both societies, with humanity developing within the confines of their solar system, safe yet constrained. From the Great Ravine emerges a renewed human civilization. Despite the Sofon barrier, the Space Force continues development as humanity adapts to imposed limitations, finding innovative ways to advance without fundamental physics breakthroughs. New philosophical movements emerge, from defeatism to desperate optimism to the Earth Trisolaris organization believing humanity deserves extinction. Between these extremes, most people simply seek meaningful lives under the shadow of eventual conquest. The Dark Forest challenges traditional views of humanity's cosmic place, presenting space not as a frontier to conquer or join, but as a hostile wilderness where visibility means death and civilizations hide like prey. This perspective reframes programs like SETI, broadcasting our position could be catastrophically dangerous, like shouting in a predator-filled forest. Our expanding radio transmissions might serve as cosmic flares marking Earth's location. The novel questions whether civilizations can address existential threats spanning centuries. Can democracies maintain focus beyond election cycles? Can individuals sacrifice present comfort for future generations? These questions extend to real challenges like climate change and AI risks. Liu suggests our greatest strengths and vulnerabilities are psychological rather than technological. Hope can inspire innovation or dangerous complacency, while factional thinking undermines unified action. In the final scenes, a Sofon reveals that Trisolarans also possess capacity for emotional connection, seeds of love dormant throughout the universe. Perhaps our most valuable trait is imagining alternatives, dreaming of when brilliant sunlight will illuminate the dark forest. The novel leaves us wondering whether technology alone can overcome cosmic survival's game theory, or if deeper consciousness transformation is needed.